A strange thing happened on the way to the pulpit. My voice is gone. So we're going to, if I can get some amplification, we'll see what we can do together. And your prayers. I was going to read the entire 16th chapter down to verse 16, but to conserve the voice, I'll just read verse 16. This is the word of the Lord. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you have received us for Christ's sake. That you have loved us. That you have sought us out. And now, Father, would you cause us to do the same to one another? We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, besides the entertainment value of a pastor with no voice, you might wonder about the title for this sermon. As I was surveying the one another commands, I saw this command and I thought, well, that's probably one I'll skip. Except as I started looking at this command, it occurs five times in the form we see it here, greet one another with a kiss. Four times that's with a holy kiss. Once it's with a kiss of love. But 60 times in the New Testament, we're told to greet one another. This must be on the mind of the Spirit. It was on the mind of the New Testament authors. It covers the panoply of authors of the New Testament. And therefore, we should look at it. As I considered this, it reminded me of what's different about the churches in Peru and the churches of the United States. When you go to a small meeting, other than the large worship service, if you go to a Bible study or some other meeting in a home, there might be 10 or 15 or 20 people in the room. Also, many of you might know from previous reports that things don't often happen on time in Peru. You may schedule them at 7 o'clock, but it may start at 7:15 or 7:30 or 7:45. They have a little different time sense than we do. But when things finally get started, when you come into the room, you greet everyone in the room as you're coming in. And if someone comes in late, everything stops until that person goes around and greets everyone in the room personally. Then they sit down and you start again. And if somebody else comes in a few minutes after that, you repeat the matter all over again. And if somebody leaves early, sometimes they do the same thing. They don't just sneak out the back. They greet you and they give you a parting salute. This is your brothers and sisters in Peru and how they do their greeting. Now, why is this important? We might think this is just an idea that we should be friendly. And being Southerners, or many of you are Southerners, all of you are living here now, you notice that Southerners tend to greet one another. Even walking down the street, strangers you don't know, say, how you doing? How are things? Some that are more bold might greet with other things like go Tigers or go Cox or things like that. But that we tend to greet one another in the South. If you go to the larger cities, especially in the North, they will think you extremely strange and weird, especially if you speak to them in an elevator or some enclosed space. They kind of move away from you and look down and away. They don't want to have anything to do with you. Why is it God wants us to greet one another, especially with a holy kiss? Well, first, I want us to consider this, that the things that we are looking at, the one another commands, the, boy, I'm going to have to imitate Rick here and drink several glasses of water. Because God has received you and greeted you. Remember that there's nothing in us that's lovely. We were estranged from God. There was nothing to commend you. If you could see your sin, you were stinky and dirty and defiled, and there was nothing lovely about you. Even the loveliest of you ladies, even the most handsome of you men, there was nothing to commend you to God. He chose you. He made you for himself. He sent his son to die for you. The angels in heaven, we are told by Jesus himself, rejoiced the day you repented. God is ordering and has ordered all things so that not only will come to faith, but you will stay in the faith and you will make it safely home. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus pictures this love in a very familiar parable, the parable of the prodigal son. Jesus pictures a father who is missing, desperately missing his son and worried about him because he's in the far country. And he has treated his father despicably. Literally, he has cursed him by asking for his inheritance and telling his father he cared nothing about him or the home, and left and spent all that he had in riotous living. And though we tend to think about the prodigal, a central figure is the father. Now let me tell you one thing you might not know. Although we have people, I see Dr. Chivers here, who's into adulthood, and I see him running many miles. But in the ancient culture, grown men did not run. It was considered beneath their station and dignity of life. And especially this man, who was evidently a great man. But he sees the son afar off, and he casts all deportment aside, and he runs to meet his son. And he lavishes love on his son emotionally, relationally, financially, familiarly, in every way. He embraces the son. Folks, that's a picture of his love for you and me. That's a picture of how he receives you. He doesn't just receive you from afar off. He isn't dispassionate about it. He loves you deeply, body and spirit. And I'd also remind you that Jesus himself would often touch the untouchable. Though he could command healings from a great distance, and he did that sometimes, he often touched those that polite society would not touch. And he commends the Good Samaritan who gets down and gets messy, as it were, with someone who's not like him at all. Someone that was passed by the religious leaders of the day. The Samaritan is commended for being a neighbor and a friend to a stranger. God not only greets us into his family individually, and each of you are saved individually, but as we spoke about last time, you're incorporated into his family, to the body of Christ, to the bride of Christ. There is no difference. There is no partiality. There is no distinction in his love for us. Though we have different gifts and abilities, different stations in life, he loves all of us. He expects us to show that same love to one another. Not just to our friends in the church, not just to the ones that have been here a long time, the ones that are easy to get along with. Greet one another. Alienation is a fact of this world. Go with me back to Genesis chapter 3. There was no alienation in the creation. there was a right relationship between man and God and between man and woman. But when sin entered in, then entered in alienation and aloneness and separateness. But Christ is making all things new. He's undoing the curse. He's making it move backwards, as it were. And that's to be evident in the church, that our alienation from one another is overcome in Christ. What does it mean to greet one another? The word means to, as we would think, greet or salute a person. And we've spoken before that here in the South we do that a lot, but often it's very perfunctory. Often I catch myself saying, "How are you?" Then I pause and I say, "No, how are you?" When I really want to know how they are, not just the polite Southern greeting of "How are you?" It's to give and to receive love and acceptance. It's recognizing another for who they are, that they are one with you in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they are not anonymous. They are not on the edges. They are not alienated. But they are loved and accepted in the Beloved and in your heart too. So we talked about why we should greet one another, because God greets us and He commands that we do it. We've talked about what does it mean to greet one another. That is, that we would, in a very vivid, external way, but also internal, receive one another. This is not to be an outward act. It has no inward reality. It is to be a greeting that comes from the heart, that we really receive one another. It requires that we be at peace with one another. If there's anything between you and a brother or sister, you need to resolve it so that you can fully greet one another. This is much on the Savior's mind, that we would receive one another for His sake, that because He has forgiven us, we would forgive one another. We, out of malice, ignorance, sloppiness, forgetfulness, often hurt one another. Sometimes we do it in unintended ways. Let me relate one of the unintended ways that Jenny and I are familiar with. When we were young marrieds, we had a very large young married class, about 250 individuals, about 125 couples. And we would have a monthly get-together at First Church in Augusta. And the announcement was always made towards the end, because these would start about 7 o'clock and not end till about 9, when many that had small children needed to go home. The announcement would go out, "Would those that have no children please stay and help clean up?" Now, to most of you will say, "Well, what's wrong with that?" And that's what I thought. It was just an announcement. It makes sense. Those without children don't have to rush home. 9 o'clock's not that late. But you know, those that were trying to have children that had many miscarriages or hadn't been able to conceive at all, you know what they heard? "You lepers that cannot have children, stay behind and clean up." That's what they heard. We had no idea that that's the way it was being received. Now, it was out of, we stopped making that announcement, and we included others, and we tried to plan different ways. But we can offend each other in many ways, unintentionally, sometimes intentionally. But Christ makes it very clear in the wonderful parable of the unmerciful servant that we have been forgiven an unpayable amount, and we're to forgive one another. Peter's trying to get hold of this, and he says, "Lord, is it up to 7 times that I have to forgive my brother if he sins against me?" And Jesus says, "No, 70 times 7 times you must forgive." It is the rule of the kingdom that we are to forgive one another for Christ's sake. And that way, We are to embrace one another. But we're also to embrace those that are not close to us, the new to the group. You know, it's very easy to have our holy huddles, our sanctified cliques. And we do want to catch up with each other on the Lord's Day. We don't see each other. We're scattered church. We have people as far east as Spartanburg, as far west as Fairplay, as far north as Hendersonville, as far south as Due West, which is an odd thing to say, south to west. But anyway, and we don't often see each other during the week. And so we want to catch up with those that we're close to, and that we should. But we also need to hear what the pastor said this morning. Lift your head up and look. Look to the edges. Look for who's not here. Look to the one who's by themselves, who's not included, who quickly scurries out maybe in the last hymn. Call them on the phone. Meet with them. Reach out to them. Greet them. Enfold them into our holy huddle. What's this, thirdly, then, about the holy kiss? Can't we just dispense with that? I mean, isn't a handshake good enough? A little salute, a little finger bump, high five, low five. Why the holy kiss? And I'm sure that I might not meet with universal agreement, but as I thought and considered this during the week, here is my case for the holy kiss. Not just because your brothers and sisters in Peru do it, in many other countries other than the U.S. Why a kiss? Because a kiss is almost a universal sign of affection and intimacy. We kiss those that we love and that we care about. Watch families reunite at the airport. I have that opportunity some. At ports of call of cruise ships. And just even after an extended separation, you kiss those that you love. We kiss our wives and husbands, our children, our grandparents, and others that we're very close to. There are kisses that are only appropriate for those who are married. And there are kisses within families, between parents and children and grandparents and others. In many cultures, there's the greeting kiss. This is probably what's being referred to here. It's a light kiss on one or both cheeks, or a very light brushing of the cheeks against one another, and maybe a kiss sound in the air. But it's a sign of your intimacy with another person, that you receive them. But notice it's not just a kiss. It's a holy kiss. Or as it's termed in one place, a kiss of love. It is a loving kiss. It comes from the heart that you're receiving this person. It's a sanctified kiss by Christ, by his people, for his people. It's both giving and receiving. It's chaste. There's nothing sensual about it. And it's also reserved for the saints, the holy ones. That's why it's a holy kiss, because it's between the holy ones. And because it is a foretaste of heaven, where we will be able to fully receive one another. And notice it is not just a word of greeting or a handshake. I think that many might argue, well, the important thing is that we greet one another. But I think the kiss acknowledges something very important, that your body is important. Christianity is not just a list of philosophical truths and wonderful religious history. It involves real people. Look at this list in Romans 16. Wouldn't you love to have your name written in Scripture? Most of these we don't know anything about. We know about Priscilla or Prisca and Aquila and maybe one or two others, but most of the names on this list are totally anonymous in the rest of Scripture and the rest of history. But they're known to Paul. They're known to God. They were known to the church. And you are too. You see, each of us matters. We're not just a number. We say that there are 600 people at Second Presbyterian Church, plus or minus a few. They're just not names on a list. Those are souls for whom Christ died, that he's known from all eternity, and that will live with him and with each other forever. We are physical beings. We are in the body. The kiss of love, the holy kiss, greets us as enfleshed spirits. A kiss is reserved, as we said, for families, and it marks out as we greet one another that we're in the same family. We're just as enthralled, in one sense, with this family as we are with the immediate family that God has given us. In some ways, maybe more so if you don't have many saved members in your family. Most of you are blessed that many members of your family are saved. But some of you, you're the only saved member, or at least around here. And so this family is your family. By giving the same sign to all, whether a longtime believer or new convert, whether young or old, or rich or poor, whether well-known or obscure, we proclaim a fundamental truth to each other and to the watching world that we are one in Christ. Though we are still individuals, and though we still are on the road to sanctification, the Father has declared and made us one in Christ. I had the privilege of performing a wedding ceremony yesterday, and every time we say that, God has, after they have declared their vows, God has declared them one. Now for the next 40, 50, 60, 70 years, work on being one with one another. And that's what we're to do. And this is the end of the matter, but it's a very good sustaining thing to do as we greet new people, as we remember those that we've known a long time, and we give the same greeting to all because we love them and they love us. Because we are one in Christ. The blessings that flow from this are mutual encouragement. You know, the world can be a very hateful and hurtful place. And it's probably most likely in our country, the way things are going, to increasingly be so. And the church should be different. It should be a place of refuge, a place of enfolding and support. It identifies us, as we said, as the family of God. It lifts up the downcast. I think it can also bring down the high-minded. They don't get anything more special than anyone else either. We all get the same thing from one another. We get the holy kiss from one another. They're not the rock stars and the special people. We're all special because we're loved by Christ. And he wants us to love one another and make that very clear to one another. So he says over and over, greet one another. Greet one another. Greet one another. You can't miss it. Put some effort. Be proactive. Again, not just the ones that you're close to. Look around and find the one who's not being greeted. Maybe the stranger, they're here for the first time. Maybe the one that's somewhat ostracized for various reasons. Be the one to greet the other. Don't wait for someone else. This applies to young people, to old people, to new believers and old believers. That we would be obviously one in Christ by the way we treat one another. This is one of the many ways that God has commanded us to build one another up in our holy faith. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you for such practical commands among your people. Would you help us to do this more and more in a way that honors you, that's countercultural, because we have a culture that's from you, We have new hearts and new minds and new reasons. Father, bless your people that they may bless one another in a watching world. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.